The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, you're listening to William Hill's Irish Racing Podcast, where we're going to be looking at all the action from Leopardstown today. Seven races on the Leopardstown card. Joining me on the line is Andy Holding and Michael Wood in the studio. Andy, how are you?
Now then, Michael. How's it going, pal?
I'm very well. I'm still getting over the excitement of the Grand National yesterday.
Yeah, I think we all are, particularly those of us who had a vested interest in Rule the World. Luckily enough, I floated on the naps table. I just thought I'd go for a big one. I haven't had a chance of putting up a decent price one that I thought I'd half a chance, and miracle upon miracle, he managed to avoid mishap. Almost fell at the final ditch when he absolutely clouted it, but somehow scrambled his way around, and lo and behold, went and powered clear on the running, much to my excitement. So, yeah, so my voice is just a little bit croaky this morning, then you probably can excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredible ride, and the last time you ride came second, he was the joint 8-1 favourite. He also put an impressive performance, didn't he?
He did, Michael, yeah. It was a fantastic effort for a horse so inexperienced, having his first taste of the national fences. There was a lot of good, solid stories to come out of the race of horses that ran well in defeat. But I think we have to sometimes look at the gods, don't we, in these kind of races and say it was just meant to be. Mouse Morris, of course, had a personal tragedy. A family member obviously passed away, and lo and behold, not only does he win the Irish National a few weeks ago, the icing on the cake goes with the English National as well. It's a bittersweet moment for Mouse, because I'm sure he would have obviously liked for that person to be around, like I say, definitely looking down on him on that particular occasion.
Yeah, it was a very fitting tribute there, and many clouds also, not the best performance from him.
No, predictably, in many respects, for myself, because I'm never really a massive advocate of previous Grand National winners going on to win the race the year after, or even running well. It takes such a massive effort out of horses nowadays that they take such a while to recover from it. And I just think it was asking a lot of him, you know, top weight, under those conditions. At least he got round. That was the main thing, and he comes back in one piece, but just get the feeling that many clouds probably won't be the same again. Probably the same for Rule the World as well. He'll probably remember that for an awful long time.
Indeed. Well, let's get stuck into the action on the Leopardstown card for this afternoon. We're going to start with the 2:10. It's a 1-mile, 2-furlong race, and the ground looks pretty heavy in this. We've got 12 runners. What's your pick in this one, Andy?
Yeah, should be a nice little maiden, like quite a few of these races are today at Leopardstown. We're just learning about these horses going forward. Of course, we've got the big Guineas trials and Derby trials later on in the day. And we're certainly seeing a couple of nice colts go to post here in the shape of Stella Mouse, who's got the form, and the more unexposed and interesting Houses of Parliament. And of the two, I'd probably go for the latter. Aidan O'Brien, for him, has had a very good start to the season. You know where the horses are doing really well when a two-year-old wins first time off the shelf, as it did the other day at Dundalk. So the confidence in the stable is a little bit more high than it would be normally this time of the season. So, for that reason, I'm going to go with this colt by Galileo, who caught the eye towards the back end of last season at Tipperary, when he was keeping on very, very strongly at the back end of the race, having been slowly away. And he actually got hit over the head a couple of times with the whip. He went for a run up the rails and got the his path blocked. But the way he shot through the line in the last furlong and went over the line was definitely a horse of some promise. And you'd certainly mark him up as a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half horse based on that. So this should be a good beginning for him. Hopefully he'll handle the ground, and if he does, then he's sure to give Stella Mass at least plenty to think about. Of course, that horse comes out that very good maiden at the Curragh, which is already beginning to work out well. He went the way of Embryon. but there's been several horses, such as Shamrain, who finished third, and of course, the horse of Aidan O'Brien's, which finished fourth, went on to win the other day at the Curra. So it's the same old in these kind of races early in the season. It's usually Bulger, Weld and O'Brien that dominate, and on this occasion, hopefully it'll be Aidan O'Brien who comes out on top with Houses of Parliament.
Excellent stuff. And House of Parliament is your current 13-8 favourite. Moving on to the 240, we've got five in the field for this one. Andy, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, the 2000 Guineas trial, a small but select field. One or two really nice colts with plenty amount of promise attached to them. Johan Vermeer would probably be the pick on form based on his run, of course, in the Racing Post Trophy behind Marcel last season when he ran his best race on the figures. But he did wind the season up with a really good win, of course, in the Criterium International at Saint-Cloud when he powered his way through the heavy ground to beat a horse of Hugo Palmer's, who they think quite a bit of, at Stormy Antarctic. The only slight concern I have with Johan Vermeer, he might have just been because he was still a little bit green as a two-year-old, but he does sometimes carry his head a little bit proud in the air. And going forward, you just hopefully that will be a trait that will be eradicated. He's already got a victory over True Solitaire under his belt over this course as well in September, so we know he handles the conditions and the track. And with Stenographer probably having a little bit tough find on form, and judged by the market, Black Sea not probably expected today, then the selection here has to be another Aidan O'Brien horse in the shape of Johan Vermeer.
Excellent stuff. Moving on to the quarter past three at Leopardstown, it's 1,000 Guineas trial stakes. 10 runners in this one, where Alice Springs is your current 11-10 favourite. Andy, who's the pick in this one?
Well, at this time of season with these fillies, often fitness on this particular ground counts for quite a lot. And with that in mind, I think there could be a little bit of a shock here in the offing with Jet Setting. A 33-1 shot in the Racing Post forecast, 25-1 overnight with some firms, 16-1 generally this morning. Now into an unbelievably 8-1 single figures for Adrian Keatley's improving filly. Now, she's only won a maiden last time out at Cork, but the time figure was very, very good, and it suggests that that form could be much, much better than what we first thought. It's not as if this horse hasn't experienced Pattern Company either. She finished third on heavy ground at Shanty back in November, so she's obviously very, very fit and well. And the Keatley stable has made quite a bright start to the season. They've had numerous winners, and they've also slayed a few dragons as well. They had a big price winner the other day, which turned over an odds-on poke in the second two-year-old race of the season at the Curra. So there's definitely positive signs from this yard that they know what they're doing, and they do quite think a little bit of this Jet Setting. So there could, like I say, there could well be a shock in the offing. If not, then obviously Alice Springs looks the one to beat. She's definitely the class filly in the race. All her four times up with the best two-year-old fillies from last season, including Minding, of course, when she was third in the Moy Glare Stud, fourth behind Lumiere in that Newmarket 6 furlong Group 1. And then she won at the same track next time out. Finished her season in the juvenile fillies by finishing second. As you can see, she's dying at the very top table, and she's likely to take all the beating. But the value on this occasion on the ground, with a likely to be ridden quite positively, is Jet Setting.
Yeah, Jet Setting, an interesting price there at 8-1, as you just mentioned. Moving on to the 3.50 at Leopardstown. It's a 1 mile, 2 furlong stakes race, and it looks quite a tricky one on paper, Andy.
It does, yeah, because quite a few of these haven't had a run. The one that has had a run sets the standard for this year anyway, albeit it was only a maiden, and that was Harzand, who was back to as if defeat was out of the question. I think there was a little bit of even money in the early morning exchanges for this one, but it went off a 4-9 poke, and it won like one. Powering clear in the latter stages, on the heavy ground, to stamp his authority on a decent field. Now, obviously, they expected it to win, and they said afterwards that pattern races would definitely be in line for this horse thereafter. So straight away, it's in the Ballysacks, and obviously Dermot Wells got a decent record in the race. However, he hasn't got quite as good a record as Aidan O'Brien has over the years. So with that in mind, it could, certainly could pay to look towards one of Aidan's here. And, of course, he's got three runners in it, Cook Islands, Beacon Rock and Idaho. A little bit of money for Idaho this morning suggests that maybe he could outrun his odds. But I actually do like Beacon Rock as a horse. And the one time he got his conditions, i.e. softest ground, to the Curra in August, he was quite dogged in victory that day. He's kind of like got caught out on his last two runs when he's got outpaced in mid-race before running on again. He's a little bit of a lazy so-and-so. He does take a little bit of stoking, hence the fact the cheek pieces go on him. I don't think he's the most straightforward of characters, and you know, he hasn't got the cheek pieces on today, so he might be one of those ones that might not be fully wound up. But he's a horse I do like, as is Cook Islands as well. Both of these two are very interesting runners. But Beacon Rock, with a test of stamina very much in his favour, hopefully might run well at a price.
Good stuff. Moving on to the 4.25. It's a nice little handicap here where Alvina is your 11-8 current favourite. Alvina looks quite a decent price in this one.
Yeah, nicely back this morning from the Dermot World Camp, and they don't usually miss when there's money in the direction of one of theirs. And it won't take a great deal of winning here. Quite a few of these are fairly exposed handicappers. Papa's Way, it has got the fitness angle, and you could expect him to go well. But Alvina from Arc of 80 does look the part here. Won at Galway back in September, staying on very strongly to lead late on. And then just got run out of it by one of Gerline's, is called Van Stick, who the connections of that think quite a little bit of. They pull well clear of the rest. The time figure of the race is very good, and it's just a case of whether fitness isn't an issue for this horse. And judged by the market this morning, it won't be. So does look particularly well handicapped, this Alvina, on its first run of the season. Hopefully can be a winning one.
Excellent stuff. Going to the 4.55, we've got 14 runners in this handicap, where it looks quite an interesting one, this, Andy.
Yeah, 4-5-2 on the field here, Mike. Plenty of fancied horses by the looks of it. Bo Sashiel, Hidden, Oasis, both coming for money. But I do quite like Tribal Path from the Damon English stable. I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for Damon. I think he's got a very decent string, small string attached to him, but he always seems to get the best out of them. And he's done a miraculous job. There's no other way of describing it with this horse. Two wins on the all-weather this season, and all done from the front as well, when he's had to really fight hard. And you think he probably would have felt the effects of all those hard races throughout the winter, but he was having none of it when he went to court the other day on the turf, on heavy ground, which arguably you wouldn't have thought would have suited, but he absolutely loved the surface. He ploughed his way through in the mud, and he won in the end quite snugly. I actually think he had a little bit up his sleeve that day. Batemount Whisper, who was second, won here at Leopardstown the other day to boost the form. And not only that, Dragon Khan, who was fourth, has also won since. That form looks pretty good. He's got a decent draw for his run style, i.e. a wide draw, and I do think they'll race off the inside fence here today at Leopardstown, so Donna O'Connor rides him, can go around off the rail and come up the middle of the track if he so desires. And because he's such a tough horse to beat from the front, I do think around about 7 to 1 this morning is a decent price for this informed six-year-old.
Andy, moving on to the final race on the Leopardstown card, the 5.25, where we've got five runners. Aussie Valentine is the current favourite at 5-4. Who's going to win this one?
Yeah, I tipped some back to Aussie Valentine in the Irish Lincoln, and still licking my wounds that it got beat by Stabber Companion Shrewth Arm, but it's still a good run by Paul Deegan's five-year-old, who had his medals blazing on his chest that day. He made the run in and just got picked off late on. It's always a good race to follow, the Irish Lincoln. The form always usually stacks up. And One Night I Dreamed, who finished seventh in the race on the Tommy Stack stable, he's already gone on to win subsequently in group company. So it just shows you the quality and the strength and depth of that handicap. He's sure to lead here, Aussie Valentine. And given that this is his best trip, 1-mile-1, on soft to heavy ground, he's won twice over this distance, he's going to take quite a bit of pegging back here. If there is one horse that might just upset the apple cart, it might well be Laganor, who obviously caught the eye first time up at the Curragh over an inadequate trip. And of course, he was drawn stall one as well of 13. He absolutely had no chance of getting competitive from that particular coffin box. But if you go back to his performance here in October on with cutting the ground, he quickened up really smartly to beat a decent field in pretty impressive fashion. And it's just whether she handles the ground. If she does, then obviously she's going to be a major danger to Aussie Valentine. But I'm going to have to stick with the Irish Lincoln form, and hopefully Paul Deegan's charge can lead it out from the front.
Well, thank you, Andy, for your selections for today's card at Leopardstown. Can you just reiterate your picks, please?
Sure will, Michael. Yeah, decent day at Leopardstown. I think we're going to learn quite a lot, as we always do on this card. I'll start off by going with Aidan O'Brien's Houses of Parliament in the first race. Joannes Vermeer gets the vote in the 2000 Guineas trial. I'm going to take a little bit of a flyer and stick up Jet Setting as a each-way alternative against the short price favourite Alex Springs in the 1000 Guineas trial. In the 350, the Derby trial, the Bally Sacks, quite a few decent colts go to post here. I'm sure we'll learn plenty from analysing this race afterwards. But Beacon Rock is the token selection on this occasion. The 4.25, I think Dermot Well can follow up the success of Zafian in this race last year with Alvina. In the 4.55, Damon English has made a good start to the season, and one of his winners was Tribal Path, who hopefully might follow up that success at Cork the other day. And in the final race, in what looks a bit of a match between Azzy Valentine and Laganor, I'll go with the former, who finished second, and a good second at that, in the Irish Lincoln.
Well, Andy, thank you for your time as always, and you can hear all of today's action on Racing Radio. Your team is Ollie Pimlott, James Milman and Paddy Aspel. So, Andy, thank you as always.
Pleasure. Thanks, Mike.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.